I'm really glad we're here today. We didn't have church last week, and whenever I miss work, it's not a big deal. Whenever I miss church, it's a big deal. So it's really good to be here. I feel like we haven't been together as a church for a really, really long time. There's also a problem. The problem is I'm a pastor, I'm a preacher. I didn't preach last week, so this week I might go really, really long. So you have to stay with me. I think Reverend Sy could probably stop me if I keep going, but it should be okay. If you have your Bible, if you can turn to Job chapter 1. And this was actually a message I was going to preach last week because we were going to be starting a series, and I figured we'd go ahead and do it today, even though we're together. But for the English ministry, we're going to be starting a series. It's a very short series through the book of Job. Job's a very long book. It's 42 chapters, and we're not going to go chapter by chapter. We're going to do a summary because it's a very hard, complex book. We're going to spend about 4, 5, or 6 weeks, and we're going to be looking at the issue of hardship and tragedy and suffering, because that's what the book of Job is. Now, very simply, Job is a story about a man who has everything. He has wealth. He has a large family. He's a very important person in his community, and he loses all of it. And basically, the story is about how Job wrestles with God and how God meets Job in his difficulties. And so that's really what we're going to spend the next month and a half looking at, is how does God meet us in our tragedies, in our hardships, in our sufferings? And for some of you, you're going through that right now. You know, probably not something you want to share or put your hand up and tell us all about, but for all of us, we go through these different hardships and struggles and difficulties from time to time. I thought as we started out, I'd share a little bit about myself. There's probably a lot that you don't know about me still. I thought I'd share this, but when I was a kid, my kids now, their age, they love superheroes, and it's because all these movies are coming out and this emphasis on comic books. And when I was a kid, I really, really enjoyed comic books. I would ride down to the comic book store, and you know, after my dad gave me my allowance, I would go down there, I'd pick up my comic books, I'd come back, and the first thing I'd do is I'd just start reading them. And just to confess, I've always liked Marvel more than DC. And the reason isn't because they're popular now, it's because there was something very different about those two comics. In Marvel, the characters were always more real. So even though you had a superhero, he had regular problems. There were some superheroes that had, you know, money problems, that had, you know, had to make hard decisions, that faced hardships, that faced tragedy, that faced suffering. And to me, that was real. You know, I think it struck at this chord that all of us know that life isn't easy, right? I mean, even if you have a lot of money, even if things seem to be going really easy for you compared to other people, all of us know that everyone suffers. Everyone goes through tragedies and trials. Everyone has difficulties. And all of us know that we can't go through life problem-free. You know, we hurt. And things happen to us, and sometimes there's no rhyme or there's no reason. And like I said, that's what Job is about. Job is about hardship. It's about bad things happening sometimes to very good people. It's about the fact that things happen, and sometimes we can't explain it. We can't say why. We just have questions. And the questions are big questions. We ask, is God just? Why is this happening to me? Do I deserve this? And these are the same things that Job asks. And again, as we go through the book of Job, we're going to be looking at how God answers them or how God meets Job in those problems. Today, we're going to be looking specifically at hardship and how to understand hardship better so that when we go through it, we're more stable, we're more sure, and we're more secure. So one of the first things we see about Job when it comes to hardship is this. The first thing we see is we see the paradox of hardship. Go into verse 1. And listen to what it tells us. It starts out the story, and in verse 1 it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So the first thing that happens is we meet Job, and the most important thing we need to know about him is told at the very front. He's a good man. He's not just a good man, he's a great man. He's a man who loves God. He's a man who fears God. He's a man who always tries to do what is right. And more importantly, he's a man that when God looks down at him, God sees that he is blameless. He is righteous. He's not just a man who is trying to be good. He is good in God's eyes, right? And that's very important to the entire story. And yet, what happens to this good man all throughout the book of Job, especially at the beginning? You know, all these tragedies befall him. He loses his family. He loses his fortune. He loses his reputation. And even his friends come by to tell him that he's in the wrong. Right, so these terrible things happen to him. He goes from being on top of the world to being on the bottom. And you know, the reason why this story is so hard to hear, the reason why Job has so many questions is because it strikes at this belief. You and I believe this. When you hear this, you might say, no, I don't believe, but we do. It strikes at the belief that good people deserve good and that bad people deserve bad. All of us believe that. We believe life is supposed to work that way. We believe that if you're a good person, if you try to be a good person, then as you live your life, good things should happen to you. And that's one of the reasons why when bad things happen, we say, why? What's going on? And we believe that bad people should have bad things happen to them. And so it's a surprise when it doesn't work that way. It surprises us when good people suffer. It surprises us when bad people prosper. It surprises us. Why? Because we believe it's not supposed to be that way. We believe that like the Proverbs say, that if you're moral, if you are a spiritual person, character should matter. Your goodness should make a difference. That if you try to walk in the ways that are right, good things should happen to you. But the real truth is, good people experience terrible things. And sometimes the worst people prosper. You know, when I was in high school, getting ready for college, I remember, obviously I think a lot of kids that age think this way, but I remember as I was getting ready for college and I was as people were asking me about what college I was gonna go to, what major I was gonna take, what job I wanted to have, you know, back then, I thought that that life worked this way. I thought that if you were smart, and if you worked hard, and if you were a good person, you would climb the ladder, right? You would get promotion after promotion after promotion. Looking back, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? I mean, you go to work and you begin to realize that sometimes it's not the person who's the smartest, it's not the person who works the hardest, it's not the person who's the most moral. Sometimes it's the person who cheats, steals. Sometimes it's the person who's dishonest, who manipulates. Sometimes it's the person that's playing games. He's the one who gets ahead. And it angers us, doesn't it? It angers you. You know, for Job, he's more than a good man. He's a man of high moral character. He's righteous. He loves God. He shuns evil. And it doesn't guarantee that his life is going to be good. And you know, I think that's actually a very important thing for us to hear. Becoming a Christian or being a Christian doesn't guarantee that your life is going to be smoother. Doesn't guarantee your life is going to be better in an outward way. Being a Christian isn't a promise that all the bad things that can happen to you in life are now not going to happen to you. Matter of fact, what does Jesus say? He says, if you follow me, you will face suffering. You'll face persecution. You'll face difficulty. But I think sometimes we forget that. We have this belief in our hearts and in our heads that if we're good, then good things should happen to us. And you know, if you believe that, it will wreck your life. And there's a rabbi, Rabbi Harold Kushner, who wrote a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And it was a really, really popular book for a while when I was younger. And he wrote this book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. He wrote it out of this experience. His son had died from an incurable genetic disease at the age of 14. And so he wrestled with this question of, why did this bad thing happen to me? Why did it happen to my family? Why did it happen to my son? And because he couldn't separate this idea that bad things just happen, the answer of the book is this. The answer of the book is God wants to do what's good, but he's not strong enough. See, that's a terrible answer, isn't it? The Bible never speaks that way. The Bible tells us that we have a God who's good, we have a God who's strong enough, but when you believe the wrong things, you will end up messing up your life. You will end up skewing everything, and you will no longer believe in the God who is really God. Or even worse, you believe the wrong things, and you will spend your life forever angry, shaking your fist at God. God, how dare you? I don't deserve this. My children don't deserve this. So it's important for us to realize that what happens to us in life isn't based on our morality, that the good and bad things in life befall all of us, that it doesn't speak about God's goodness, God's justice. We live in a world that is filled with tragedy, that is filled with hardship, that is broken, not because God can't fix it, but because we have broken it. And that's one of the first things that we see. We see a good man suffering terrible evils, and it's not because he has sinned, it's not because he's bad, it's the way the world is. The second thing we see is we see the problem of hardship, and it's a very, very important problem that we see in it. If you go to verse 6, the story continues, and we go from this picture of Job on earth with his riches and his family and his position, and we are all of a sudden transported into heaven. And this is what it says. It says, verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where have you come? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down on it. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth, blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. And Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a large hedge around his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Now, like I said, the passage shifts. We go from earth, we go to heaven, and we see that, you know, here is God's throne room. There's angels before him, and Satan is there. And Satan asks to put hardship into Job's life, and God allows it. Up until this point, you know, as Satan mentions, Job's life is good. He has possessions. He's wealthy compared to the other people that he knows. He has a large family. He's very well respected. But because of this conversation between God and Satan, terrible things begin to happen in his life. Now, I want you to notice this. See, you and I know that this happened, right? You and I read this. We read that God's up there and Satan meets him and he says, can I do these things to Job? Job never knows that that's happening, right? Job never knows this conversation went on. Matter of fact, you get to the end of Job, and at the end of the book of Job, God doesn't say, you know what, Job, I want to let you know that at the very beginning of all this, Satan came to me and he told me this and I said this and I allowed him to do this. That never happens. So Job never finds out that this takes place. And you know, it points out this problem that is inherent in hardship. The problem is this. For Job, he's never given all the information. And for you and I, that's one of our major problems. One of the major problems in hardship is you and I don't know everything. We have a limited perspective. We have limited information. And because of that, we can't know what's going on sometimes. You know, C.S. Lewis wrote this book called The Problem of Pain. And in that, he explores God's character and human suffering. And basically, he said that if you suffer a lot, he says, even suffering, terrible suffering, even suffering isn't a good reason to reject God. And he said, the reason why is this. He said, the reason why is because you and I are limited. We can't see everything. And it's the same thing that happens to Job, right? Job goes through this terrible tragedy. And like a lot of people do, Job could shake his fist and become angry at God. He could say, God, how dare you? I'm not going to follow you anymore. I'm not going to love you. I'm not going to serve you anymore. That's it. You don't love me. But you see, C.S. Lewis says, the problem with that is that you really don't know what's going on. You know, what you have is you have a very limited perspective. Let me just kind of share what that looks like. I guess about a month and a half ago, I went on a business trip, and I had to take a flight out to St. Louis for a little conference, and then I flew back. But when, on the way out, I went to Dulles, and I had two flights canceled, so I ended up at the airport till about noon. They finally rerouted us to another plane and then got us over to St. Louis. But I got to the gate, and I was waiting for the first flight, you know, the flight I was supposed to take, the one I was booked for, and the plane was out there, and they told us there was a delay. The delay went from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to half an hour. And when it hit about half hour, people started grumbling, right? There were some people next to me. They said, "Can you believe that this is..." I said, "Yeah, this is terrible," you know? And they said, someone around me said, "Gosh, this didn't used to happen years ago with air travel." I said, "Yeah, I don't remember this ever happening." And we were complaining about how terrible air flights are, how terrible the airlines are, how much they want to save money and, you know, squeeze people on flights. And when things don't work out, then there's... And so, you know, half hour turns into an hour, and people were angry. You know, there was a couple people who were standing up, who went up and tried to ask, "Why is our flight delayed?" You know, people's voices were starting. At the hour mark, though, they came on the mic and they said, "Well, the problem with the flight is the pilot turned the engine on and there's a smoking smell. And so we have to call the fire department. They have to come in, they have to check it because it could mean potentially a major problem." The moment we found out, everyone stopped complaining. "Yeah, I don't want to get on that plane. Hey, if the engine's smoking, I don't want to get, you know, I'm fine staying here. How long is it going to take? That's fine." What's the difference? You know, right? You know what's going on. And you know what? That's how life works. Job is a story of a man who lives his life who doesn't know. And you know, for you and I, we don't know. For all we know, God could be working behind the scenes in a good and gracious and a wonderful way. We don't know. And because we don't know, we have to be careful, right? I mean, tragedy can befall you. And if you think you know everything, if you think you see everything, then you can shake your fist. You can say, "God, how dare you? I know how things work. I know what good looks like. I know what you're trying to do. I know what you should do when you're not doing it. How dare you?" But you see, if you don't know, then you don't have to say that. Then you can say, "Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I trust you." And you see, those are two very different responses. One from a heart that says, "I know everything. I understand. I know what's best." And the other that says, "Lord, only you know." And there's a huge difference between those two. You and I, we're in the same situation as Job. We have a limited perspective. We have incomplete information. And to become angry at God is foolish. To say to God, if you're really good, you would do this. God, if you're really God, you know that I don't deserve this, is simply foolishness. The problem in the hardship and the tragedy and suffering is we don't have complete information. And we won't know. That's why in those times it becomes important to trust. To trust in a God who is loving, who is good. A third thing that we see here is we see that not only is there a problem in the hardship, we see that hardships actually have power. There's actually good that comes out of hardship. If you go to verses 11 and 12, it says, again, God is speaking to Satan, or Satan speaking to God here, but he says, "Stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand.' So Satan went from the presence of the Lord." Now, this is actually very insightful. You know, Job is a good man. He's a righteous man. And Satan says, can I mess up his life a little bit? And his reason is this. He says, "God, the only reason why Job obeys you is because you give him all these wonderful things. He has a lot of stuff. He has a wonderful family. He has a wonderful position. People respect him. But I bet if I take those things away, you'll see what he's really like. He's not like this. If I take them away, you'll see." Now, if you listen to that, what is he saying? Or what is it teaching us? It's teaching us that there is a power in hardship and difficulty and tragedy. And the power is this. When hardship comes, when tragedy comes, when suffering comes, it reveals who we really are. It shows us. You know, for instance, you can have a person who says in good times, oh yeah, I trust God. And then when bad things happen, God, I can't believe you're doing this. Right? You have two different things happening. You know, Satan says, once I take the good things away, you'll see. He says, Job loves you. He prays to you. He follows you, he obeys you. But once I take it away, God, you'll see what he's really like. He's not like this. You know, hardship reveals what's underneath. It reveals what you really believe. It reveals what you really love. It reveals what we really are. In moments of hardship, you see. Just to kind of prove it, I think I've used this illustration before, but I think if you want to see how that works, plan a really, really important meeting in D.C., and on the day, you know, a meeting you have to get to by a certain time, and on that day, get into a whole bunch of traffic. And then you begin to see what's really here, right? You begin to see whether you're a patient person or not. You begin to see whether you're a loving person or not, if someone else is in the car with you, or if you're looking at the person kind of outside your car and you can see them. I remember one time there was a traffic jam, and it was back when I lived in Philadelphia. And it was literally, you know, I was on the exit trying to get on the highway, and no one was moving. And it was literally where, you know, I would move, he would move, I would move, he would move, and we were close enough where I could see his face. And so I would try to look at him, and he wouldn't look at me. And then, you know, and it was this really weird situation. But in those moments, right, you feel angry, and you realize you're not a patient person. You know, in moments of tragedy, in moments of hardship, in moments of suffering, in moments of difficulty, your real stuff comes out. You know, it happens in traffic jams. It also happens early part of marriage, right? You get married and, you know, you're getting used to each other, and sometimes things come out and you go, gosh, I'm not as patient as I thought. I'm not as loving as I thought. I'm not as gracious as I thought. That's what happens. You know, here's Job. He's a good man. He fears God. And sometimes through the book, that wavers a little bit. But ultimately, he trusts God. And, you know, you could say, this all sounds cruel. Are you telling me that God puts us through bad things so he can see what we're really like? No. Here's the thing. God already knows what we're like. But in the moments of hardship and suffering and difficulty, you and I get to see what we're really like, because we don't know. Right? When things are good, we think we're good people. We think we're patient. We think we're kind. We think we're gracious. But it's in the moments of difficulty that we begin to realize that we're not. And it reminds us that we're blind to our faults sometimes. We're blind to the things that we really are. God already knows. He doesn't need to see. You do. And that's actually a blessing. It's actually a blessing to have God reveal those things so you see them, so that you know them. One of the greatest things that can happen to you in your life is to see yourself as you truly are, to put all the masks down. You know, we hide ourselves from others, but we hide ourselves from ourselves too. We think that we're better than we are, and we're not. You know, there's a, I don't know if you got a chance to watch this over Christmas, but there's a wonderful story called A Christmas Carol. And if you remember, main character is Ebenezer Scrooge. And, you know, he knows that he's tight with money. He knows that he's selfish, but he thinks they're good things, right? He thinks that he's being smart, that he's being wise, that he's smarter than everyone else around him. And if you remember, when he goes to sleep and the ghosts begin to appear to him, at the end of the third appearance, he wakes up and he realizes that he is uncaring, that he loves money, that he is selfish, that he is stingy, and that realization begins to change him. Right? And it's a beautiful story because of that. It's a beautiful story to see a man who didn't know he was all these things see that he really is, and begin to change. And so he wakes up and, you know, he goes to Cratchit's and he, you know, gets them a big turkey, and, you know, he's a different man. That's what happens, or that's what can happen when you realize who you really are. But I will tell you this, you and I cannot change like that. We cannot. It's a great story. Great story about a man who has a near-death experience, realizes how terrible he is, turns for the better, and spends the rest of his life being a good man. Wonderful story, won't happen to us. And the reason why is because of this. You and I know that if that happened to us, we would change for a few days and then we'd go back to being the other way, right? That's what would happen to all of us. And the Bible tells us that you and I don't have the power to change in and of ourselves. We don't have the moral character. We don't have the strength of will. You and I cannot change. But what James says and what the Apostle Paul says is your hardships, your suffering, your tragedy points you to Jesus' hardship, to Jesus' suffering, to Jesus' tragedy. And that is the hardship, that is the suffering that can actually change you. And you see, the gospel says that you can be changed by bad things, but not by your will, not by your strength, not by your character. The gospel says that what you need is you need to experience Jesus' tragedy. You know, Jesus came and he was cast down as a blasphemer, as a fraud, as a criminal. And in his hardship, do you know what? His hardship revealed him too. Remember, the centurion said, this man he must be the Son of God. And for you and I, the fact that Jesus faced that hardship because he was cast down as a criminal, because he died the way that he did, it revealed that he really is the Messiah, that he really is the Savior. And when you believe that, if you believe that, that's the suffering you need to be changed. That's the tragedy, that's the hardship that will change you. Your hardships will help you see what a terrible person you are, but his hardships will make you a good person. So as we close, as we pray, in our hardship and our tragedy, let's look to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you even for the bad things that happen in our lives. Lord, when they happen, we don't rejoice. We don't shout hallelujah. But Lord, even the worst things in life have the power to bring us to a loving and faithful God. And Lord, as the Apostle James talks about and as the Apostle Paul talks about, our hardships and our sufferings only make sense in Jesus Christ. That in Jesus Christ we truly can be changed. So Father, for those who are undergoing hardship and difficulty, Lord, I pray that they learn to look to you, or to set their gaze on you and to be transformed by you. For the rest of us, we may not be suffering now, we may not be going through difficult things now, but I pray that you help us to know that when those times come, you are the one we should look to. And in gazing upon Christ, the one who has suffered in our place, Lord, may his sufferings transform ours. Lord, we thank you again for being a God who is willing to experience hardship and suffering, because you deserve none of it. But in experiencing it, you have changed us all. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.